This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome all you listeners wherever you're at. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for listening. And we've been on this program now, Raising the Standard, for 19 plus years. And we're raising the standard. So what's the purpose of the program is to show people the truth that needs to be raised up in our country that seems to be drifting away in so many arenas. So we're honored to be here with you. And Don and I co-pastor this church here in Stuart, Florida, and we have for 24 years now, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we're so glad to be a part of the body of Christ and to be able to share these things with you on the radio. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on from 12 noon until 1 every Saturday. And God gave me the name way back years ago out of Revelation 19:10, where the tail end of that verse is, "Worship God, the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy." And that's the name that we've had and carried upon our lives from that point on, because God spoke it and I received it in my heart. And so we're working and accomplishing what He wants us to do with this ministry. We can't do everything, but we do what God wants us to do. And we're very prophetic. We deal a lot with the Jewish roots, the Jewish appointed times that God put in place. And we do a lot of prophetic things. And we walk in the fullness of the prophetic word that Paul talked about over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and all, to covet earnestly that you might what prophesy, because it's going to encourage and exhort and comfort people. And so we're in that realm, and we've been in that realm all these years. And so we're going to continue to do that. We're working for the benefit of the body of Christ at large, and we love the Lord with all of our heart. And our purpose is to see people raised up, taught, trained, and activated to know the truth of the Word of God, and that they will grow and mature in the things that God would have them grow in, that they will know the Word of God. And when they hear something or something new comes out, they'll know immediately that it's either of God or it's not of God. And so that's what our purpose is. And so we have to trust the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost will lead us into all truth. And we thank you for that. And we have the truth before us right here. I got my King James Bible opened up here to Luke chapter 12. This is His Word, this entire book. And so we're honored that we can open this with you on the radio today and share some things with you as we go on with the program. And so Pastor Donna's got a couple of things she'd probably like to talk about coming up for Hallelujah for this afternoon and anything else we have in the future here, Pastor Donna. So you just take over and tell them what we got coming up this weekend.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we're just blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing. Amen. You need to pray for us. Amen. Like you need to pray for each other. We're going to be having service here this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Four o'clock.
We'll be finishing a series that we've been studying about
Courts of Heaven.
Courts of Heaven. Yeah, the Courts of Heaven.
That's Robert Henderson. Very
right.
Good.
Amen. So it's excellent. It's getting your prayers answered, basically, and knowing how to to enter into that place and knowing that your prayers are going to be answered. Because God is, he keeps his promises, doesn't he?
Sure
he's
does.
Faithful and true.
That's right.
Well, we have service also tomorrow on Sunday at 10 a.m. And then we also have fellowship and a little meal afterwards. So come and visit with us if you can. If you come, just plan on spending part of the day with us. And, you know, you can stay and have dinner with us as well. And you can get a chance
as long as you want, talk
to Pastor Gene and myself. We'd love to meet you guys. I know there's a lot of people listening. This radio broadcast has been on for many years. And a lot of people listen. A lot of people like us. And some people don't like us.
That's right.
That's okay. We love everyone. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We also have services on Friday night.
Right.
I'll get it straight. Friday night at 7 p.m. we have our Shabbat service.
Hallelujah.
Teaching and we study and we worship the Lord and praise the Lord. Amen. Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves coming together, right? Especially when we see the days how are getting late and the day
is approaching. That's right.
The day is approaching and you know there's evil in the world and there's good things as well. So we need to come together, encourage each other, and pray for one another, and to just not to separate ourselves. We need to be strong in the Lord, amen? And we need to be prayer warriors. We need to pray, come together and pray. And we do come together and pray on some Saturdays, and we may do some praying this afternoon because we need to pray, amen?
Amen.
And so I want to give you our phone number and also want to mention that you can listen to us if you happen to be driving down the road and you're visiting Florida, this beautiful state of Florida. When you go home, you can still listen to this broadcast. If you're just on the internet, you can go to WCNO.com and you can listen to us live every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 p.m. Or you can listen to the broadcasts over again. You can go and listen to the repeated programs and just check the scheduling guide for Saturday at 12 noon looking for Raising the Standard with Pastor Gene Hilton. Amen. So glory to God. Our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. You know, the interesting, that telephone number, Pastor Gene, every time I think about it, mm-hmm. I think about us, you know, we're 007 agents for God. And this year, 757-77, we have three sevens, which represents the sword of God. And also the seven is the power of God. And God completes things that he plans. And, you know, seven completes a whole week, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Many things in seven have complete things. And so it's a perfect number. Because God is going to complete everything he started.
That's right. Nothing
from the beginning, he's going to finish it.
That's right.
And everything he says in his word
will come to pass.
And it has come to pass. And it's going to continue to be finished, you know. The book is going to be... when the book is closed, everything that God says in his book will have happened. Will happen. So we need to get into the book and we need to know the truth.
Absolutely.
There's only one book that will give us the truth. Now, there's many books that have been written and maybe they have part truth or they have mixture. But you know what? You're not going to get the whole truth. What's that? There used to be a show on, wasn't it? Then there used to be a show on TV.
Yeah.
Truth
and nothing
but
the truth,
right. Something like that. You won't get that unless you get into the Bible.
Right Bible.
And we recommend the King James Bible.
That's right.
So that you can discuss with us at another time. But we recommend that because we've been different places and we've done different things and we've returned to the King James Bible. And not because it was just a good book, which it is, the best book. But because of conviction and looking into all of these other
translations
and seeing how the Word of God is being watered down.
And perverted.
That's right. And twisted. And the Bible talks about iniquity. And you teach on that, Pastor Gene. You teach on those three sins. And iniquity is...
the worst one.
Twisting the Word of God.
That's right.
Making it sound... making it fit what people want for their
and it
lives.
It might be palatable to them, yeah.
Right, it's going to taste good.
That's right, it's going to taste good.
Well, God said the word's going to taste good. It's going to be like honey in your mouth.
That's right.
But, you know, when it gets to your belly, it's going to be bitter because it's going to cause you to change. And either you're going to come into that place of change, or you're going to walk away from God, or you're not going to. You're going to look for an easier way. You're going to look for an easier way to make you feel good. People want to feel good, don't they?
That's right.
Well, we've got a lot of things to talk about today, I guess, Pastor Gene, but we just want to bless the people, and we want to thank them for listening to us. And, you know, give us a call. Give the radio station a call and tell them how much you appreciate this radio program. Amen?
That's right.
And also, come visit us if you can. And I wanted to mention one other thing. Oh, we have Purim coming up, Pastor
Gene. That's right. Won't be long.
Just in a few weeks. So we will have a Purim program and a meal. And it's going to be really good. So I would say read the book of Esther, mm-hmm. because you can see in the book of Esther things that were going on in the book of Esther. You know, things repeat.
That's right.
Time repeats. It's going to be a different place. Maybe a different,
different time.
Different date. But things repeat. And God,
spirit's still there.
And God repeats. God is the cycling God. So he wants us to know about the book of Esther because he wants us to be like Esther was. Esther was cautious, but she came to the place where she said, you know, I'm going to do what God says.
No matter what.
If I perish, I perish.
That's right.
I'm going to do what God says. And you know what?
We have to do the same thing.
So many people compromise.
Yeah.
Compromise is a big word. And so much of the church is living in compromise. They do not follow the word of God according to truth. So we need to see truth. The Bible says, the King James Bible says, the truth will make us free.
Sure. Not set us free, but make us free.
That's right. So Purim's coming up, and so you want to give us a call, and you can sign up for Purim. I believe it is going to have to, I'm going to have to check my calendar, but I believe it is on the 12th of March, which is going to be on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yes, the 12th of March.
So they honor it for 2 days, though, don't they?
Right, but we're going to celebrate it on March 12th.
Okay.
And that's on a Sunday, and it will be in the afternoon. So you can go to your regular church in the morning and come over for a Purim program and dinner with us.
Amen.
But you need to call because we can only hold so many people in the auditorium. And, of course, we have to prepare all the food as well, so we need to know how many people to come. And you can also bring a dish if you'd like or bring a dessert. So give us a call at that number, 772-285-7007, if you'd like to celebrate Purim with Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God, Pastor Gene.
So you can be a part of that. Join
Amen.
Up. And doesn't mean you come and become part of our church. We just ask you to come and visit. And maybe somebody's never sat in a Purim celebration before. And it's good to find out what the Bible really has to say. You know, that book's an interesting book. You know that?
Amen. You know, we have Pastor
Gene. God's not even mentioned in it once.
That's right. Well, you know, we celebrate all of this. Is not one of the main feasts of the Lord, but we celebrate all the feasts of the Lord. Like in a month from that date, exactly 30 days, will be Passover.
That's right.
So we have a lot of people come to our celebrations who aren't part of Spirit of Prophecy.
That's right.
But they pray for us, and some of them drive from Palm Beach and some
That's
from
right.
Vero
Hallelujah.
And other places around. But, you know, they come because they want to be part of the feasts of the Lord, because God is pouring out his spirit and people are being stirred and they want to know more about the feast of the Lord. You know, it doesn't say the feast of the Jews,
nope.
or it doesn't say the feast of Israel, or it says the
feast of
the
Lord.
Lord. So if you are a believer, you can embrace those things. It doesn't mean you're going to do everything exactly the way, you know, they might have done it in history. We don't, but we embrace those things and we know the truth and we teach about what happened during those times because, you know, we need to know these things because it says to tell your children.
That's right.
And your family. And so your children, you know, they need to know about how God delivers his people. Because, you know, just because he delivered them out of Egypt doesn't mean he doesn't continually deliver us, because Jesus paid a price. He died on that cross. He shed his blood to deliver us from the power of the enemy. Of Satan, so that we could be free and we could go and we could serve him.
Amen.
So they were going to serve the Lord, so we can serve him. You can't serve God if you have if you are in bondage to the devil, or if you are in in some occult, or if you are mixed up in tarot cards, or if you are mixed up in say even in the newspaper, the horoscope
every day,
or if you're mixed up in sin, or if you're mixed up in, you know, doing all kinds of stuff, you can't serve both.
Nope.
You can't. So what we need to do is we need to all be delivered from the powers of darkness, from sin, from the powers that Satan has, and also our generational curses, which we don't have time to talk about that, but in this teaching today, this video, it talks about generational curses. Generational curses follow generations, just like your DNA. But we can be set free from that, and we can receive the DNA of God, amen, because it's Jesus' blood. It's God's blood that sets us free. True. God became man that he might die to set us free,
right,
to give us life, to give life more abundantly, like it says in
John 10:10.
Yeah. He came to give us a life and to give it to us abundant life.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, we also want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. Praise God. They have their
computer back up.
You know, that terrible Hurricane Matthew did destruction over there like nobody's business. Tore houses down and flattened people's homes and some churches and the communication.
But the temple of God is still standing.
But the temple of God is
no damage.
No, not one brick came down. So, but
one
we're
block.
One block came down. So we're still building, and they still need finances. So please pray about that. Maybe you could send some money to help out, buy materials for the roof. The roof is the next thing to go up.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot to be done. So anyways, we want to say hello to you, Roscoe and Audrey. We love you and we bless you, and we just thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life and in the church, the temple of God on Andros Island, on Conch Sound.
We're glad to be a part of them.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Awesome, awesome. God is good. God is so good.
But you know, I was thinking this week and even before we came on the program, you know, my heart goes out to President Trump and all he's struggling with right now, and you know, all the news media, everybody's against him. Nobody can say one thing good about him. And I was thinking, you know, if Jesus Christ was in this realm and could become president of the United States, they wouldn't find anything right about him. If you read the Gospels, you find out that the religious leaders in Jesus' day had nothing good to say about him either. They wanted to, you know, lampoon him. They wanted to destroy him. They wanted to kill him. And we have the same thing going, same spirits behind all this. And so I was thinking this morning before we came on about the spirit of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you know, back in Jesus' day, there was three main groups. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. And the most highly regarded, I guess, was the Pharisees. Even Paul, he said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. And that's why God chose him to do what he did, because he knew the Word of God and all that in a great way. And so we see all this in the Word of God and how God speaks about this. And so I was thinking about this, the leaven. Jesus talked about the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven. Well, the first thing we want to know is, what was the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? And what was the leaven? It was a thing called hypocrisy, pretending to be something that you're not. And I thank God we got a president in office right now that's genuine. And you, as he is, that's what you get. He's not trying to put on any airs. He's just who he is. He's always been that way. So we need to be that way ourselves. But if we know the Word of God, that makes us even more powerful, because then we know who we are in Christ Jesus. That's the most important thing. So I was thinking about this today, and I went over to...
I believe that he's a better man now because many, many people are praying
that's
for
right.
him. And because he has surrounded himself
with ministers,
with believers,
that's
and with
right.
ministers, and with pastors. And he even spoke Friday morning, as he was speaking Friday morning at the CPAC,
right?
He thanked. I listened to how he thanked them, you know. I mean, I may not get it exactly order, but he thanked them. He said, you know, the believers, those who voted
the
for
evangelicals.
Him. He said Christians. He said ministers. He said pastors. He didn't go in. Rabbis, and that was it. He didn't say anything else, but he thanked the people.
For supporting
him. So he has been surrounded with people. And so, you know, you may not like our president, but the Bible says that we are commanded to pray for our president. And that doesn't mean to curse him.
Nope.
There are people out there who are cursing there were people in the Old Testament who were cursing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Christians curse each other. You know that?
Yeah, we're the accuser of the brothers sometimes.
The Bible talks about that. Now, most people, they don't want to hear that. Oh, you know, God is love. God is love. Well, you know, God is love. But if we have the Spirit of God with us, in us, then we should be demonstrating the love of God through our lives and in our words and in our actions. Amen. We should not be cursing anyone. You know, our ministry, people have come against our ministry.
Yeah.
But we have got the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of God to pray. And it says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Hallelujah.
Right? And because if we stay pure, if we're seeking the Lord, I'm not saying we're sinless, that we don't ever sin. We all miss the mark.
We all make a mistake.
But if our desire is to stay pure and clean, to have clean hands and pure hearts.
Hallelujah.
And you know, some people who listen to us, are you seeking the same thing? We should all be seeking to have clean hands and a pure heart. And you know, what we have in our heart comes out of our mouth many times. Well, it does. The Bible says that too. So we want the truth, but the truth, the Bible says that we are to pray. We're to pray for those who are in authority over us. We're not to curse and try to pull down and try to destroy.
We can pray for those who persecute us.
That's right.
That's right.
The enemy is the one. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So have people made a pact with the enemy? I believe that many people have made a pact with the enemy.
Yeah.
And they are not doing... So I would say, I would question in my heart, are they really a Christian? Are we going to make a pact with the enemy? Are we going to come into agreement with what God says? You know, there was a group of people that lived in Egypt, and they had to obey, didn't they? They weren't happy there, and they had good times there in Egypt when Joseph was alive, and when there was a good Pharaoh, and then they had bad times when after that Pharaoh died, and you know they had to leave, didn't they?
Yeah,
they had to leave. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt your teaching, but we do need to seek truth, and we do need to pray one for each other.
That's right.
We need to lift each other up in prayer. We need to lift up WCNO in prayer.
That's right. Amen.
We need to lift up these people around the world that are bringing the truth out, speaking forth the truth.
Amen.
In love. We need to speak the truth in love. Amen.
So I just tell people, I says, you know, people judge everybody else and all that. We're not supposed to be doing that. We don't judge their motives and intents and all that, but a lot of people do. So I just tell people, well, if you're without sin, you cast the first stone, okay? Like mm-hmm. Jesus said. Well, we've all missed the mark, and so we got to be careful what we're trying to judge and tear down people. And I think about that scripture over in Revelation chapter 12, the accuser of the brethren. I'll tell you, a lot of accusing of the brethren today are the brethren accusing each other and running things down. And you know, the Bible makes it real clear. Jesus told us this in Matthew 24, that in the last days, that love would wax cold. That's where we are right now.
There's so
much hate in America. It's unbelievable how bad it is. And so we just have to keep praying and stand on that gap. And think about the hate that came against our Lord when he walked the earth, when he was there for those 3.5 years of his ministry. Think about how much hate that he took. And they did everything to him.
We have to stay strong in the Lord.
That's right.
The Bible says to stay strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Because no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper.
That's right.
No weapon that's formed against Pastor Gene and myself will prosper. Or spirit of prophecy.
And every word that's been spoken against us in judgment, we can condemn, not the people, we condemn the words that's been spoken against us. That's a heritage that we have.
That's right.
And we do that. Hallelujah.
In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach.
Right. Now, I took you over to Luke. I'm going to back up in chapter 11 and just read a couple of verses before we get the key thing here. Verse 52 of Luke 11 says this, "Woe unto you, lawyers." That was another group that was kind of perverted in that day. "For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourself, and them that were entering in, you what? Hindered." And so the key here means the entrance into the kingdom of God. And then he goes on in verse 53, "And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him." So here's hypocrisy right here. They had a thought out that sounded like it might be okay, but underneath it was a wickedness behind all of it. And then verse 12, or chapter 12, I should say, verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So he's telling you right now what the leaven of the Pharisees was all about. They thought it was about food. If you read before this, you know, when he had the 12 loaves and the fishes and all that. But he says, no, the leaven is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those, but primarily the Pharisees. And then verse 2 of chapter 12, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, there's a couple other scriptures that refer to this. I want to go to Mark chapter 8 with me. Back up to Mark.
Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 8, verse 15.
I think that's it. I'm looking here.
Take heed.
There you go.
Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Yep. So now
Herod's
we're looking
included.
At two different groups. Yes. We're looking at a religious group
and a governmental group. Which is Herod. He was the authority there.
That's right.
The Romans.
And Jesus warned us of that.
So he even had leaven because he was, you know, he wanted him to let him know when the baby Jesus was born. He wanted to go worship him. He said, well, what was that? He was lying out his teeth, wasn't he? It was hypocrisy. Because if he would have got a hold of him, what would he have done? He would have killed him just like they did all the other babies, the boys.
That's Amen? Right. That's right.
So that's an interesting thing. Now, the other place is over in, I wrote down here, was in Matthew chapter 16. Chapter 16. Let's go read that
Matthew
one.
Matthew 16.
Matthew 16. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father. 16:6
says this in Matthew. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. See, they thought it was bread again. And we go down here to verse 12, because they didn't understand. He told them, well, let's back up. Look at verse 11. How is it that you do not understand, Jesus said, that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. It's incredible. So we see this hypocrisy, and you think about, I looked up some stuff this morning before I came on about the Pharisees. You know, they were the major group, like, you know, it wasn't a political group because it was part of Israel. And most of the people followed them and believed them, what they were teaching and all that. But the thing is, Jesus made it clear in the Gospels that not to beware of them. What was their leaven that they were doing? They were telling people things to do in the Torah, which was right, but they didn't do them themselves. So it was hypocrisy. It was a double standard that we have that with our government. You know, they have a standard that we don't have to walk in. And then we have our standard. It's to, you know, it should be God's not a respecter of anybody. We should, whatever the law is, it should be for us and for the nation and for the capital and for all the people in the political arena. It should be the same. But we don't have that. So what is that? To me, that's hypocrisy also. And so we have a lot of this in our country today. And we have all this, fussing and all the riots and stuff over President Trump. And I don't understand why this is going on. Why do we hate people so much? You know, we have this hate. We need to bind hate completely. Now think about this, Pastor Donna. I'm holding this wonderful book in my hands, the King James Bible. Some men before the King James was put in place translated the Bible into a different language and all that, and they were persecuted. And I'm thinking about Tyndale and Wycliffe. Now Tyndale was an incredible man of God, and you know what? Because of what he was doing, they hated him, they persecuted him, and eventually they put him on a stake and they burned him alive. That's what they did to him. That's how much hate they had. And you know, people today would like to kill President Trump, but we're praying that's not going to ever happen. And then we have, how about Tyndale? Or I mean, I mentioned Tyndale. How about Wycliffe? You know, he translated part of the Bible also. and did some things with it. And so they hated him. They hated him. And they would have put him on the stake also. But he had a stroke before his death and all that. I guess I don't know how long it was. Maybe several months or a year. And so he died before they could put him on the stake. But you know, they hate him so much that 40 years after Wycliffe was dead, they hate him so much they dug up all of his bones and they burned his bones. And you know what they did with him? They threw his bones, the dust of his bones, into a river called Swift over there in Europe.
That's right.
So what happened? The word of God swiftly, just like a river going down through a valley, swiftly went through the land. And so these two men, Tyndale and Wycliffe, were very instrumental. And what happens today that we have with the King James Bible? The Geneva Bible came and all these Bibles that led up to this, and they condensed them all together because of these great men. And I have this book in my hand today,
Glory,
called the King James Version Bible.
Glory.
And we have a disdain for that in our country for some reason with a lot of the church. Nobody wants to talk about the King James Bible anymore. But this is the one that God gave us, and this is the, I believe with all my heart, this is the true translation. And so we have to do that, but we've got people that want to pervert that and change things and,
right,
and do it their way. Well, we can't. We have to do it God's way. And for some reason, God preserved this Bible for all these years, and even before the King James was put in place. How about the Torah? It was preserved all those hundreds of years that the Jewish people practiced all that. And we got people today teaching that we don't have to do anything with the Torah anymore. It's old. It's passed away. I hate that name. It's not old. It's the first covenant. And so we don't do all the ceremonial things. We talk about that a lot on this program. But there's spiritual truths behind all of it. See, the letter can kill you, Paul said. But the rhema, the spirit of it, brings life. And so we do that. Donna teaches on the Torah portions we do on Friday night. And as we read through that, I mean, things just jump off the page for our life. Lord, I want this in my life. I want to walk with you this way, and I want to do it your way. And so that's what we need to have today. But we got so much of this that's just, it's totally just a lot of deception, and people have all these translations and all that. But anyway, we got to get back to the truth, because the truth will make you free. But you know, you think about it, after Christ came and he died and the disciples went out and did all that, and then around 300 AD, we had a universal church came, which was Catholicism, and then they put some things in place. And as we study all that and realize all that, you know, even think about Martin Luther when he went and nailed those 95 or 94 theses on the door of the church, the Catholic Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Those were all the things that he found in the Bible that were contrary to what they were teaching.
That's right.
So we have all this, and so we have all this mishmash and all this. What is the truth? This book I got before me is the truth. This is not relative. This is the truth. A definite article. This is the truth. And this is what we have to stay in. And so think about it. They made up all these laws, the Roman Catholic Church, down through the years. And they changed from time to time. And so people looked at the Pope like he was the God. He was God on this earth, you know. And that's what they claimed him to be. But he really was not God at all. He was just another man. But we see this. And so the same thing happened with Israel in those days. You know, they wanted to do their own thing. And they made up their own thoughts and opinions. And so they started off with 213 commandments. And what happened? Down through the years, the sages and the rabbis wanted to, I call them fences. They'd put a fence around one particular commandment, one of those 213, to make sure the people would keep that one commandment or statute that God had. So what were those other things? That was called legalism. We have so much legalism today. Not only in the church, we even have it in the government today, legalistic things. And so we got to get away from that. Why don't we just stand on the Word of God and know what Jesus said, and that's it. We don't have to try to make up anything else. And Jesus condemned that. If you read Matthew, yeah. I think it's Matthew 23, you can see how he scathed those leaders. Let's go over and look at this for a moment. It's in Matthew chapter 23, I believe. I'm turning over there right now with you.
Matthew 23?
Yeah, these were the woes that Jesus spoke about to the religious leaders. Where do I want to start at here? This is a long chapter. Where do I want to start at here?
You know, it's still, today, it's still religious leaders.
That's right.
It's not, things haven't changed.
Nope.
You know, the Bible tells us that, right?
That's
things
right.
are the same.
That's right.
Things have always been the same, all down through time.
That's right.
There's always been, the enemy has always tried to come against what God is doing and God's plan. And he tried to stop the birth of Christ. My heavens, he's going to try to stop each and every one
That's
of us
right.
from fulfilling the call that God has on our life. He will try.
It.
And so, you know what? When we have an open door, That allows the enemy to come in to steal, kill, and destroy. So that's why we need to stay close to God. We need to be repentant all the time. We need to ask the Lord to show us His ways, that we would be right in His eyes.
Hallelujah.
That we would the thoughts of the meditation of our mind, the thoughts and the things that we think about, the things that we entertain in our mind. Are they the things of God? Are we meditating on His Word? Are we trusting in Him? We need to trust in the Lord.
Absolutely.
That's where we put our trust.
That's
not
right.
In man.
Nope. That's right.
Not
no
in
man.
Presidents.
Nope.
Not in pastors. Not in husbands. Not in children. Not in mothers. No. And I think about, when a kid gets in trouble, they always run to their mama, right?
That's right.
Oh, mama, mama, mama. Oh,
yeah.
Mama fix this. Mama fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? We are to go, run to the Lord. Run to God. He's the one who has the answers for each and every one of us individually and our homes, and also for our nation, for this nation.
That's it. I was thinking while you're talking there, here's an example in the Bible when the Ark of God was out of Israel.
Uh-huh.
And you remember they put it on a cart?
Yes.
All right. The Philistines were going to, they wanted to get rid of it because all the hemorrhoids and all the stuff that was happening. They put it on a cart and they were pushing it down the road. And what happened? It shook. And a man by the name of Uzzah reached up and tried to stop it from falling off the cart. He dropped dead. Well, think about it. That cart had boards. I'm going to say it again. The cart had boards on top. I'll say it again. The cart had boards, and it had big wheels pulling it along.
That's
we
right.
have this in the church today. Boards and big wheels that are out of God's order completely, and that's why we're having problems in our country so much. And so we got to think about things. That's what it was all about. I thought about it the other day when I read
that. It wasn't supposed to be on a cart.
It was out of God's order. God said to carry it with poles.
Carry
it with poles.
Man was trying to control it and do it the way they want to do it and make it easier.
That's right.
And God doesn't make things easier for us many times. Many times He makes things difficult for us. So when we know that we've come through it, we know that it's God's hand.
That's
God is the one who's delivered us, who's healed it. Maybe somebody needs a healing.
Amen.
And they get down to trust in the Lord because it's the Lord. So here, that's very good. They had boards and they had wheels.
Wheels. So all boards have big wheels. Big people think they're
big
hot stuff.
Wheels. Mm-hmm.
And God, if you read the Bible, there's not one thing in the Bible about having a board. And by the way, deacons do not vote. If you read the Bible, they were servers in the house of God. They were to do the things, like we have a couple of deacons basically in our house.
Amen.
And they were never intended to vote. And so I've read several books, maybe five or six books on leadership. And they're all different opinions about what it's all about. We need to go back to what? The ancient past. We go back to what the book of Acts, how it was established there. That's what we should be doing instead of having big boards and big wheels running it. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Well, so, we could go on with that about pastors being moved here and moved there and the people trying to control the church.
What's being said.
Trying to control the church, trying to control what's being said.
Or preached.
The government trying to control this and control that.
That's
We have to answer to God.
Hallelujah.
We do answer to our each other and to the government, but we do the right thing. If we do the right thing, we're bound to be blessed, and God's going to watch over us. Amen.
That's right. So I'm in chapter.
He says he watches over his word.
To perform it. That's right.
To perform it. What does that mean? To make it, to have it come to pass.
That's right. He doesn't confirm the man. He confirms the word that goes out. If it's not the word of God, then he's not going to confirm the man.
That's right.
Now verse 23 here in chapter 23. Jesus says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees." He calls them what? Hypocrites. They're pretenders.
That's right.
They're not doing what they say they're doing. "For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law or the Torah, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." He says you need to do both. "Ye blind guides," he calls them, "which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites again, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, and within they are full of extortion and what? Excess." Their heart's not in the right place, in other words. "Thou blind Pharisees," verse 26, "cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be what? Clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." He keeps calling them hypocrites. "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness.
Even so, you are outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and what? Iniquity. That's that word iniquity. It comes from the word that means to pervert. They perverted and twisted everything. And then verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Boy, isn't that a crock? That's a lie right That's a there. Lie. That's hypocrisy. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up them, the measure of your fathers. And look at verse 33. Ye serpents, he calls them, you're the devil. Ye devil. Serpents, you generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, what a scathing denunciation that Jesus had here for those religious leaders and what they were doing. And so we got things going on in the church at large. You know, they're not teaching the truth. We got things going the wrong way. We have this emergent church and the purpose-driven church. Now we got a book out called The Shack that people's there's going to be a movie come out about.
The Shack Church.
The Shack Church. I'm warning you, better be real careful and look at this. And if you don't know the Bible, the Word of God, you're gonna be sucked into it. So there's warnings. And so the church should have ministers that stand before the pulpits. And they have no hypocrisy whatsoever. All they want to do is give the Word of God. This is my life. I don't need a purpose-driven life. This book in my hand, the Bible, the King James, this is my purpose-driven life. I have this in my heart, and I want to put more in my heart all the time. And so that's what we have. Preach the Word. Just preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach and teach the Word. You don't need any other book.
You don't need another book.
That's right.
You don't need another book.
So these
want to be entertained.
That's right.
People want to be entertained
today. That's right. They want to be entertained. Well, you don't have a big praise and worship team, or you don't have this, or you don't have that. Why don't you just come? Why don't you just come and have someone that really is opening up the Word of God and teaching you what this Bible really has to say? I love doing this on Sunday morning. I just open up my Bible and God shows me some verses to share on, and we read that. I did that last week. I had a chapter in the Bible I read, and it was all about the persecution and how we have to handle all that. The Bible says if you come to Christ and you live righteous, you will, not maybe, you will be persecuted.
That's right.
So we have to learn how to just accept it, amen, and go on. And so we can't listen to all the naysayers. We're going to go by what this book says and nothing else, amen? This is your life right here. This is our life, this book we have right here. And God was so wonderful to preserve this for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years that we have it in our hands today. I think it's incredible. Thank God for Tyndale and Wycliffe, what they did.
Wow.
Thank God.
They paid a price, too.
That's
right,
they paid a price. Thank God for the 54 translators of the King James Bible and the knowledge that they had. And King James wasn't the one that translated the Bible, but he authorized it and picked these men to do it. And they were scholars in their day. So praise God. Praise God for this book. This is what we got to get back to. And so we got to quit taking verses and taking them out of context and teach something that's contrary to what it's really saying. You know, each verse we read in the Bible has one central truth in it. Not 20 or 30. One central truth. And that's exactly what we have to stay with and understand that. Amen? And so?
So he's talking to these blind guides.
That's right.
These blind guides. They're leading people astray.
That's right.
They're leading people astray.
That's right.
And what happens? Why are they leading them astray?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're following after their devil, the father of the devil.
That's right.
And they're destroying. They're trying to destroy the Word of God. They were trying to destroy Yeshua and the disciples. You know, but look at that. Look how they started out. Just a small group.
That's right. They got bigger, bigger, bigger.
And even a small group on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, when the power of God was poured out, and look how it's grown today. Look, but yet there's millions of people, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who aren't saved, who don't know anything about Yeshua.
That's right.
And yet there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians that don't know the Word of God, that have never read their Bible.
All the way through.
That don't understand. That will read some other book and think it's gospel.
That's right.
And get confused. What were they doing? They were leading them astray. They were trying to blind them to the truth.
Sure. And there's even a lot of pastors that are pastoring have never read the entire Bible from beginning to end. So what do we have? Listen to this. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 5 here.
Okay.
Look at what Yeshua said here. Starting in verse 17. Our Master said this, think not
that I am come to destroy the law. This means the Torah, or to abolish it, or the prophets.
Right.
I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And you think about it, he did fulfill many things, but you know what? The fulfilling meant bringing the true meaning of the Word of God to make the meaning of all of it to be complete and understand it. Now, verse 18, for verily, he says, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the Torah till all be fulfilled.
Wow.
And then verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach them. Boy, this makes me shudder thinking about this. To break one of them and then teach other people that it's okay. Okay, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 20 here now. For I say unto you, the Lord says, that except your righteousness, he's talking to the religious leaders here, shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Huh? Woo!
That's right.
That except your righteousness. We're talking about the inner man has to come out based on what? The Word of God. That except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Whew. Boy. Now, just meditate on that a moment, huh? Just meditate on that for a moment.
Thank you, Lord.
And this has to be based on the inner man and with God's knowledge to walk. We have no righteousness of our own. It only comes from Yeshua, our Messiah.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I quote this scripture all the time in 2 Corinthians. The man that knew no sin became sin. He became your bloody offering that we might, it's an if, we might be made the righteousness of him through the Messiah.
Wow. I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
That's right. That's a powerful verse right there. And Jesus made it quite
clear.
You
have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But you know, people kill with their words, Pastor
Gene. Right.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment.
That's right.
And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. What council? There's a council in heaven.
Yeah. That day was a Sanhedrin, but there is a council in heaven, isn't
there? Yes, and we're going to be talking about that this afternoon.
At 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock, so come. You will learn a lot.
Yeah.
But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire.
That's right.
Wow.
I'm going to go back to verse 20 again.
Okay.
For I say unto you that except your righteousness, and this righteousness that we have has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes. In other words, we have to have a righteousness within us through the Messiah based on God's word.
Yes.
The righteousness, then it shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes. Well, what was theirs? Theirs was only external stuff. You know, they spoke things out. They didn't do it. They told people to do it, but they didn't do it themselves. So they were walking in hypocrisy. And it says the Pharisees, if they do those things that way, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So that means they're going to be lost.
Mm.
So we could be, I mean, to me, I kind of shudder about being a teacher of the Word of God. Because James told us, he said, don't all you desire to be what? Teachers. Because why? Because we're going to have a greater judgment on our lives than those that maybe just sit there and listen. And so it's an important position to teach, train, and activate with the true Word of God and to impart those people so they're going to get nothing but the truth. Nothing, 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 nothing but the truth and nothing else. And I love it. I'm going to go and read that scripture to you over here in James, what James said. Hallelujah. It's in chapter 3 of James. It says, my brethren, so he's talking to believers, be not many masters. A master, what? Was a teacher. knowing that we shall receive what? The greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Then he goes on and talks about how a little bridle goes into a horse's mouth and controls a great big animal, and a little rudder on a ship and all. So our tongue is so important. So we've got to be careful about who we accuse and what we say about people, because,
amen,
you know, I always tell people, when you're pointing your finger at somebody, you got three pointing back to yourself. And are you the judge and jury for what happens? Do you know a person's heart and all? No, you don't. Especially about motives. Do we really know President Trump's motives and intents in his heart? No, but God does. And it appears from the outward expression that he's showing that it's a sincere thing. Why would he want to run for president? He has all the money he needs. He's had a wonderful family. He's got all, he can just have pleasure and all that. Why would he want to do it? Why is he doing it? Because he loves America and he wants to see us get back on the right track. Because we've drifted away from God. We got a bunch of hypocrisy going on in this land, and God wants to turn it around and bring it back to be a sincere love of God, and God has to be in the middle of it. So we thank God that he's going to work on our behalf as we continue to pray for our president, the cabinet, and all the leaders in America, that things are going to change. People's going to have a new thought instead of all this negativity that we hear all the time. Everything's negative. Everything's negative. Is there anything good at all? Is there anything good about that man? Is there anything at all good about him? There's a lot of good things about him. And so this is what we have. And so we got this anger in the land. And Jesus tells us right here in his word that we cannot be like the Pharisees. They had a lot of anger about Jesus. They wanted to kill him. You know, one time they wanted to push him off a cliff, but God took him away from all that. And he wasn't there.
Sorry.
So it wasn't his time. And so they did that, and they said all these bad things about him. It was incredible. And, you know, they were the one that brought the charges against Yeshua, even though it wasn't fulfilled by the Jews. The Romans took over them, and they were the ones that crucified him and did all those things. And here he was hanging on the cross, dying for the entire world. And what did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That was his heart. That was his heart speaking out. So we need to have that heart in us, that we'll love people no matter what they look like, no matter what they say, that we can walk in love with them, and hopefully that love will overpower them and they're going to see something new in us. How in the world, you know, can we have all these hate groups and think that somebody's going to join that and really have the love of God? It's impossible. My question is, all these rioting places, these places where they're rioting around the country, I bet you a lot of those people claim to be Christians. How can you be a Christian and participate in that? You can't. The Bible tells us we have to love those that persecute us and misuse us or whatever. Well, they're not being persecuted and misused. They have a mindset that they think that's being done, but that's not going to be done. And so we have to just keep praying for our nation. My heart goes out. I love this country so much. I gave 4 years of my life to the
military.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I love
this
country.
You did.
And I remember places where I was at, overseas and all, and when they played the national anthem and stood up and saluted, and I had tears come to my eyes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Because of America, we were honored at that time. I remember when I was in the Philippines, and this was after, I don't know how many years, I was there in 1964, and this was several years after World War II ended.
Thank you, Lord.
But I'd go down through some of those streets, and these little kids come out, and they say, "Hey, Joe! Hey, Joe! Hey, Joe!" Because they remembered. Their family told them about what America did in the Philippines.
That's right.
You know, MacArthur was run out, but he says, I shall return. And he did that. He honored his word. How many people in the political arena today are going to honor their word? I hope so. That's what we need, integrity, honesty, and sincerity, and we can turn this country around. And we must continue to pray. Pray. Pray for
pray.
Your leaders every single day. Pray, and when you get tired of praying, pray a little bit more.
We've got to return to righteousness.
That's what we've got to do.
Righteous
standard. Or we have no hope.
Raise the standard in your life.
That's right.
Amen. That's what this program's about. We want to raise the standard in our life. Pastor Gene and myself, we want to raise the standard. God's prophetically spoke to us to go on this radio broadcast to raise the standard and to teach the word and to teach the festivals of the Lord.
That's right.
And you know, it's not everyone's going to like what you're saying. But just like when you go out and share the gospel, not everyone's going to receive what you're saying.
What
did Jesus say? Dust off your feet and go on.
That's right.
Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of the terrors that fly by night. God is faithful.
Yes.
You know, we're running out of time, but I don't have time to read this whole prayer, but I'm going to read part of this prayer that James Nesbitt put up. He's putting a prayer up every single day for our government, for the president.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to read parts of it. I don't have time to read all of it. But if anybody would like to have it, they can go to his website, James Nesbitt, Nesbitt. He says, Majestic Father, we magnify you. Wonderful Counselor, that's what he is. Mighty Elohim, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, we give you all the glory due unto your name this 36th day of Donald Trump's presidency.
Yes, Lord.
Just be who you are today on behalf of President Trump. God, you be who you are today for his family and everyone connected to him. That means his whole cabinet. It seems that this is the day that the witches the world over have chosen to curse our president. That was on Friday.
Yeah.
I'm reading Friday's prayer. Well, Father, this is a good day to time to show them the power of the blood and through that blood,
yes,
the terror of the Lord. We have power over the powers of darkness, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We appropriate the full power of that blood on behalf of our president. Let the witches and those who dare try to curse this president experience just what the consuming fire of a jealous God looks like. And then he has Isaiah 26, part of that. I'm not going to take time to read all that. It says, we are asking that what the enemy intended for the leaders of our nation to return on his to return to his kingdom in the form of 1,000 kingpins being run down with the blessings of awakening light as the terror of the Lord visits them. Let this day be of 1,000 souls, Saul's, you know, like Saul, the apostle.
Saul,
who was the...
His name was changed to Paul.
No, Saul being turned into
Saul,
Paul's.
Yeah.
Saul's being turned into Paul's.
Yeah.
You know, his Saul's name was changed into Paul.
Yeah.
In other words, let them come to the Lord. Yea, shake the hell out of darkness today, mighty God. Trump them with the hand of heaven as being holding until now. We need to, I'm not going to read it all, it's just too long, but we need to pray.
Powerful prayers.
We need to pray and pray for our leaders and pray for our president. We need to pray for each other. We need to sound the shofar, amen? Because we live it's darkness. There's darkness all around.
Sure is.
But yet the Jesus said, when the darkness is there, then what? The light is going to shine out even greater, isn't it?
That's right.
So the light of the gospel and the light of God's people is going to shine. We're going to shine like the light. And we can go forth as children of light. We need to be children of light, not children of darkness.
Like he talked there on CPAC. He talked at the end, what? All about God. Without God, we can't do it. And we can't.
Trust in God.
We need him. Not a bunch of people out there yelling and screaming.
Trust
That's not
going
to change anything. So we're running out of time here, Pastor.
This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're out of time. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. 772-285-7007. Give us a call. We'll let you know about our church and what's going on. Pray for us. Pray for each other.
Amen.
Love each other. Pray.
So as we close this program every week, we're on here because we want to raise the standard in the body of Christ to a new level, to holiness and righteousness, and believe in the Word of God. So we tell you every week as we close to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.